My name is Lori. I'm the executive director for Recycle Colorado. We're the statewide nonprofit. And I think what I'm going to do first, I'm going to tell you what we do, and then I'm going to kind of take a temperature of the room to make sure we kind of talk about the right thing. So what we do is we work on the infrastructure. If I say anything, anybody doesn't understand, just raise your hand. The infrastructure for collecting and processing materials, and then the end markets for that. So you can collect and process things, meaning bale them, you know, sort them, do all that all day long. If you don't have somebody to buy it, you're done. So we work on that, and then we work on the policy that goes with that, primarily state-level policy, but we also come around and try to help out with local policy. And that's it. We don't do anything else. We're talking about education today, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because I was talking to a group earlier, and I think some of them might be in the room. Education is critical, but you got to be really careful that you educate once your infrastructure and your end markets are in place and your systems are in place, because if you want people to change their behavior, they need, there's cost, conviction, and convenience that will change people's behavior. My theory is they need two out of three of those, but convenience is the number one. The second it's not convenient, not only did you lose them in that one action, you frustrated them from taking another action. So when you do your education, just be sure that you're mindful of what you're telling people. Keep it so simple. People are overstimulated. Keep it simple, right? Cost, conviction, and convenience. So I do everything by conviction. Now I'm going to go, and somebody's got worms. I love it. I got them in my garage. I got, right? No matter what, if I got to walk or go and drive another mile, take the stuff in my car, probably like most of you guys, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it home with me. So conviction's the biggest driver. But that critical mass, we're talking about critical mass, and that's your major population that are not the greenies, so to speak, that's not their driver. It's convenience, and if it's going to cost them, that's another barrier. So you want to talk about education, which is probably a whole other topic, and you want to keep it really simple. We are actually working, and we'll give you one tidbit, Recycle Across America. They are working to standardize signage across the U.S. Critical to do this. Recycling signage is super confusing. Recycle these 75 items. I'm totally making this up. Don't recycle these 52. These 33 we're not really sure about, right? And so your psyche says, well, I can't be successful. I don't want to fail. Therefore, I just won't do it, mm-hmm. Right? Or I'll try, I fail, I'm frustrated, and now I'll sabotage it. So that's where you get with recycling and waste behavior and psychology. So that's not what we do. but we promote this simple signage, and it literally will say, you know, cardboard, one piece of cardboard, that's it, that's the whole sign. Get this in the bin, we win, right? Cardboard, what is it now, $75 a ton? Something it was. I know I'm out of here, right? But last year, I mean, it was going neck to neck with metal, right? It was upwards of $200 a ton. So what I'm going to talk to you about today, after I take the temperature of the room, is I'm going to kind of talk to you about the economic side of recycling. And why it's happening. So who's in the room? We're all citizens, so you all get, we're not gonna raise your hand for that. Do we have business owners in the room? Okay. Do we have government at all? Oh, well, no way, no. It's good. But you're not elected, so that's better. No. I'm kidding. They're our friends. They help us move the needle. And then do we have nonprofit? Multiple nonprofits. Okay, great. That's just good to know, because I talk a lot from the business perspective of recycling. And so I think I'm going to kind of, you guys all know about China, right? The National Sword, Green Fence, all that kind of stuff. They're not really taking our material anymore. At the end of the day, that's a really good thing. It's great. Yeah. Because we need to deal with our own stuff. It's about time the Western culture learns accountability and responsibility. If you're going to generate it, right, you better know what to do with it. The problem is we didn't pay attention to the signs for the last 30 years. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, shoot, we got all this stuff. What are we supposed to do with it? Plastics 3-7, and I probably let Mickey, since you guys are local and I'm more statewide, talk about the details of all the materials here. But what we do at Recycle Colorado is we're working to bring those end markets here to deal with these materials so that they don't even leave the state. The idea is if you're going to take something out of the environment, if you're going to rob the environment of a material to make a product, you better darn well at least then keep it in your economy. Mm-hmm. Do not go put it back in the environment in a landfill. So that's the mod, that's the concept of circular economy, right? But so much of this stuff has become single use, and as you guys all know, and it doesn't have any value anymore. So recycling used to have a lot of value. I'm telling you guys probably what you already know. There are commodities. For the most part, that's not the case anymore with what we have the most of. Things like cardboard, aluminum, metals, things like that still have value, and they should never go in a landfill. A piece of cardboard should never go in a landfill, and yet it's one of the easiest things to recycle. So when you think about materials and when you think about education, that comes back around to the simple things. If we can just get people to recycle the basic things that we still can drive value out of, and I'm talking about economic value, we could go down a whole like rabbit hole and start talking about the ethical value of plastics, and we're not going to do that. But certain plastics, ones and twos, PETs, we're still finding value for those in the market today. You can pelletize those, they can be melted, and they can be made into new plastics. Other plastics, 3 through 7s, for example, in a nutshell, not so much. When you buy products, if you go to your house and look at everything that you have, get rid of anything that's what we call a composite. Things that have multiple materials fused together are bad. Just bad, don't buy them. You're better off to buy something that's all one type of plastic, solid, that can be recovered. It doesn't even have to be a 1 or 2, right? And best shaking your head. So,
yep. Can you give me an example of a composite?
So, yeah, like, you ever seen a Keurig?
Yeah.
You ever seen one of those darn coffee makers, a Keurig, that you stick those pods in and you slip down and it makes a cup of coffee?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's got multiple materials. It has plastic, it has aluminum, it has a filter, paper. Yeah. They can't take that apart. They can't disassemble that in a fashion to which they could recover it all. So anything that fuses multiple materials together, even multiple different types of plastic, all plastics melt at a different temperature. So that's what makes them hard to recover. If they're not homogenous, you can't recover it as well.
How does it work with labels on plastic?
It depends. Most of that burns off. It depends on the plastic. But when you process plastic, you don't burn it, but you melt it. And so that becomes like a char. It's like a digestate. So all of that burns off because of how high the temperatures are.
Plastics have paper labels on them. Some of them have plastic labels on them.
Right. But depending upon the plastic, that too will burn off. It depends on the plastic. But if it's a 1 or 2, I'm not going to probably go down the rabbit hole of plastics because we could literally probably talk for hours. But we can give you more information on them. But Kai, guess what I want to know is, I'm going to tell you what's going on in Colorado, just kind of real quickly. And then maybe if I can answer some questions. A lot of it is about plastics. Recycle Colorado right now is working to try to bring an end market manufacturer here for plastics 3 through 7 to the Front Range. It could be some folks, it's controversial to some, not to others. It is a plastic to fuel technology. It's a chemical process, a low to no emitter. It basically heats up the polymers. So plastics are monomers, right? They're together in a chain. You heat them up, they separate, they capture the monomers, and they put it back into a red diesel. So into like that oil type base. We don't want to make fuel. However, we're probably not going to stop driving. And anybody that wants their roads serviced or their trash picked up and all these trucks that operate on diesel, it's better at least to use what we've already manufactured than to go and mine virgin materials again, is the thought. Right now we have yards full of plastics 3 through 7s piling up all through Colorado and nothing to do with them. There are a few markets out there still that are taking them if they're immaculately clean. And as Beth talked about contamination, that's our major issue. Our stuff's not clean. So we work like that. We work to try to find homes for these materials that we can bring to Colorado to build these circular economies for materials so that folks then can say, oh, this is X. If I put it in this bin, we have a closed loop in Colorado on glass, then it will stay, this type of material or become this in the circular economy. So that's what we work on. And then we also work on policy to back that up.
So
question.
Zero to low emitter at the tailpipe? Or
no,
in
the process.
In the process.
So VOCs and all
yeah,
that.
Sorry,
okay. Yeah. So they capture the vapor, so nothing escapes. You know, very, very low to, you know, sometimes they'll deem it like it's equivalent to a Suburban that drives around for a month, you know, for impact.
This sounds kind of also end of process. Do you look at earlier in the process because food is packaged for a reason, so you prevent food waste, and food waste is big also.
Right, and it's like the easiest thing that ever hurt is food waste. I'm not going to talk about compost because we've got a bunch of composting people. So actually yesterday I met with two big brands that have put most of the food that's on your shelves on the shelves, and talking about the perils of packaging and what to do, right? Because there are health and safety standards. They're trying to deliver single servings to people. The best thing that we can have happen is people buy ingredients and make their food at home would be the best. That's ideal. Probably not going to happen in this lifestyle today. They have so many challenges with packaging. Because in order to keep that fresh, there's multiple layers in that packaging, so there's multiple layers of film and resins on there. And so, like we just talked about, the more you layer the films, the more difficult it is to capture that material. So they're looking at other ways and other products that they can make packaging out of. We've all heard of probably compostable packaging. Problem is it doesn't really compost. I mean, in the regular cycle, right? They grind it up, but then it functions just like plastic because it doesn't break down that fast. So then it sits on top of a windrow, it blows off the pile, right? It goes into the overs. So if you do composting, overs is what's left over, you know, after the processing. So it's such a complex problem, packaging, and you have all these big brands trying to deliver yogurt. Right, that has to be cold, and then trying to deliver things that have to stay hot, and things that need to, you know, stay at just certain temperatures for health and safety. So packaging is a big issue. The best thing you can do is just try to limit how much packaging you use, or at least look for packaging, again, that's mostly one material. That makes sense.
With these 3 through 7s, and Jeannie, you were talking about this yesterday.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, you want to buy yogurt.
There's no yogurt.
There's almost no ones and twos. There are some, so there are even some packagers making yogurt cups, like the one I eat. It's a number 2, and then the paper label, there's a tears off and comes off, right? And then you have the aluminum, but that's too small.
As consumers, you know, I know you guys sell a glass one. But as consumers, what can we do? I mean, I'm in touch with Kroger, and we're telling them all kinds of things. Now what? I'm telling them, we don't want...
So the brands know it. They know it, and they know... So right now, actually, I talk about yogurt cups because that's their Achilles heel at the moment. Because, right, they're not so recoverable. And yet people eat yogurt, like... I mean, if you go to the grocery store, it's like a whole wall of yogurt.
Yeah.
Right? And Go-Gurt and whatever the heck it is. Right. So, I mean, you can make your own. I tried, though. It didn't go that well.
Hey,
but
I mean, for people that are asking, what can we do about what's on the shelves? But can I say it is being addressed at the state level?
It's being addressed at the state level, but the best thing they can honestly do, it's like when you say, call your council person. But honestly, the best thing you can do is register, just go to the website of the product and send an email. That's the best thing you can do, because they listen to the consumers.
That's right. Pick up the phone every time.
Pick up the phone.
I call them, I leave a message.
Perfect. And you may think it's not being heard, but it's being heard by their consumer, their customer service departments.
And Kroger does have they have a tendency to listen.
I know.
So they're actually coming to our conference. So we've got them coming as the opening speaker at our conference in June. We have a conference in Pueblo June 9th through the 11th.
Yeah, and they've been so cooperative.
They're great.
Safeway in Saline, for example, we're doing these reusable bags to give away because of the
from the last time I was here, remember?
And we want to give it away to make it easy. And we've got a little hanging rack in the foyer. Safeway won't let us do that in Saline. So I mean,
then you need more people.
But if you get enough customers,
that's the point. So be a consumer that. Yes, feedback.
But also another one might be, I'm not sure now it's the Netherlands or here, that Greenpeace is running an action against plastic. And I know I used to work at World Wildlife Fund for Nature. They do a lot on, so if you look, they are campaigning a lot of times also to get Walmart, Kroger's,
Right, and Kroger wants to be zero waste by 2025 and hopefully no plastic bags by 2025.
That's why they're coming to our conference.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're getting
yeah. So single use is a big deal. It's a big deal, and the plastic planet, and I mean, so that's good, right? So all this China stuff, all this social media, I mean, it's good stuff because it's got the momentum running. So when we try to, there's a preemptive clause, it's a state level clause that basically says localities, that's why we're at the commissioner's meeting, can't ban plastic. The Colorado Municipal League is running a bill to try to get rid of that for on behalf of local control. If that's not successful, there's another bill coming behind it to try, it's not quite as extreme, but to do something about it. One of the biggest calls that we get at Recycle Colorado monthly is, hey, our community wants to ban plastic bags. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're afraid of, right, the punitive from the state. We've got some communities saying, let's all do it at the same time. You know, they can't get us all. And so that's a great strategy, right?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody do it. They can't arrest everybody. And then we've got the retailers know it's coming. They know it's coming. So if you can, I don't really ever believe in complaining unless there's a solution with it, packaged with it. So if you can help them, you also have to help your retailers in your community.
And that's why they appreciate us.
Yeah, and you have to help them. You can't just complain to them.
And plastic bottles are next.
Yep, that's next.
can you trust the labeling, the recycled labeling? And the reason I ask is that
you mean like the triangle, with the 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah, it says it's a 1, is it really 1? The reason I ask, I used to work with EcoCycle in Boulder, who does some amazing things.
Yeah, they're under
little clamshell things, and they'd say number 1. They'd say, no, they're not really number 1. If it says number 1, but it's like, it's not.
Mickey.
I hate to, you know, harp on plastics again, but
it is the number 1.
It is the number 1.
It's made from PET. So there's the biggest thing about the numbers is they're not a recycling code. They're an origin code. They're telling you what that material was made
kind
from.
Of plastic.
Back in the 70s and 80s, it developed into a recycling code.
Okay.
So we all just kind of fell into that
okay.
and got used to it. So, yes, they're both PET, but one is, the easiest way I explain it is one's a blow mold, where it goes down a line, air shoots up, makes a bottle. And one's an inject mold, where it comes down a line, and the plastic's injected into a mold.
Okay.
Those two molds go like this instead of like this. That's the easiest way I've been able to explain it. And that's why they don't want to. So they can't, when they try to make a new product out of it, they don't believe it.
And
because it's the same plastic. But
and they don't melt at the same
it's
point.
It's coming from a different temperature.
Yeah.
But chemically, it's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
So yet I remember for consumers, you're not going to know this. I mean,
yeah.
It's
right.
Really tough.
Single stream recycling. They're still taking 3 to 7, but what do they do with
it? It depends on you guys. So I don't let me stay up here too long. But
I'll just tell you what I have
learned.
It
depends on your
hauler. Chaffee County Waste, who takes it. It's a feel-good program, and it goes in the dump.
Yeah. So what's better is like the city of Fort Collins that just is transparent and says, we can't find a market for these. We're no longer taking them.
Yeah.
Please don't put them
and
in your
And the reason they're
cart.
Doing it, it's not that they're wanting to lie to us, but there is hope that there will be an end product, so they want to keep you in the habit. It's not a... It's
no,
not
it's true.
And
honestly.
That's true. It's
yeah.
always easier to add to your program to take away
yeah.
another material.
It isn't
take
to be
away.
Dishonest. And Lake County, Cloud City Conservation Center, who is a model for us, and Walking Mountain is another mountain town, Eagle County model for us, they are consciously telling recycling folks, these aren't being taken, but we want you to stay in the habit of bringing them, and it saves you money because you're not putting it in your garbage. Recycling is free in Lake County and us.
Well, it's not free.
It's not free. We all know. We all know that we fought for our town and municipalities and county to continue the service. It isn't free.
No.
But as a consumer, you're not adding to your garbage pickup.
It's and it,
so philosophically, they made that decision, but the truth
yeah.
is it's a
3 through 7 transition. Is being dumped.
And everything's being dumped? Your entire recycle bag?
3 through 7.
3 through 7.
Oh, just 3 through 7. So if you've already
they're sorting it.
That out of our recycle
hopefully.
Bag, then everything's taken?
I don't know.
But they're taking it to Best Way in Colorado Springs.
Yes.
And you're saying
Best Way.
That's where they sort, is in Colorado Springs, Best Way. But this is Mickey's topic, so let's...
Okay.
Yeah, it's Mickey's topic. I'm glad that's Mickey's topic. Okay, so let me just tell you what you guys can do. Okay, let me tell you what you guys can do. So the group I met with earlier... Recycle Colorado does all we do is we take action. We don't do anything else. We don't have, Bethy will tell you, we don't have, like, fluffy calls. All of our calls are either heated.
She makes or, it work.
Yeah, but it's really easy. So we do action projects. Every project we do is 12 months or less. It has to be tangible, actual, and measurable, measurable being the key. I'm going to send JC this little thing that I made. It'll kind of explain to you the issues in Colorado. Beth, I don't think I've ever shown this to you.
No.
So it just tells you we're 12%. Here's where we need to get, right? Here's our diversion challenges with curbside, with multifamily, with rural, the infrastructure, legislation, end markets, things like that, okay? Our biggest deals are at landfills. Our tipping fees are too low. We don't have data. So in statewide, I mean, we don't have data. You can't put in your GPS, I want to go over there, and it asks you, where are you? And you're like, I don't know. So, you know, how, if you don't have the data to know even what you have.
And the data we collect, is it collected the same way?
It's not collected the same way. And then we export most of our materials. We have a closed loop in Colorado on glass. When I say closed loop, that means you take the bottle, the glass bottle, it goes in the bin. We've got all the businesses and manufacturers here that will make that a bottle and keep that a bottle forever. It'll go back on a shelf in Colorado in 2.5 weeks if you can get the glass bin in a bottle. If you've got the infrastructure, rural sometimes can be a challenge. We also have a closed loop on steel. We have Everest, the steel mill down in Pueblo. And I like to say I have a closed loop on food always because it's one of the easiest things to keep cycling. So what we work on, again, with these projects is bringing either fixing that piece in the collection infrastructure, finding the processors, or going out and attracting these end markets to Colorado, which Colorado's not seen before. We're not a big manufacturing hub, so we don't have a lot of manufacturers here. So just let me finish and tell you what you can do. So Chaffee County is a member, is a county member, which is great. So you guys kind of have, through you guys and the folks that are active, have access and through Beth of what we do. But we do these projects, and we just pick something that's not working. And if you can do this in everything that you do and laser focus, we all can sit here and talk about the problems of plastic. We can do that all day long. It's not going to get us anywhere. We know it's a problem. So pick one or two of the major hurdles and then pick one thing that could address something of one of those hurdles that's tangible, actual, measurable that you can make progress on in 12 months or less. And then you get at least 8 people on an action group and you ask them for 1 hour a month. 1 hour. I don't have a sign-up sheet. You guys have to decide to do this on your own. 1 hour a month. And it's that kind of hour that I tell everybody when it's snowed outside, the fireplace is on. If you got one, if you have kids, they're asleep or they went to their friend's house. If you have a partner or spouse, they left. And you sit down on your computer or at your book or whatever and you spend an hour doing something and you are like unstoppable. One focused hour. That's all we ask for. So that gives me 8 hours of work a month, actual work. And we do that for 12 months, and we're getting stuff done. So we have a glass collection pilot going on. We have construction and demolition. We have a 12-month. If anybody knows any contractors, this is totally free for them. I'll leave you guys some flyers. It's a contractor's challenge. We go out, and we basically are showing them how to incorporate recycling on their job site. And they get notoriety, all that kind of good stuff. It's statewide. They get recognized by CDPH&E. The major contractors are involved, like G. Johnson and G.H. Phipps and those guys. So that's like a 12-month project that we're doing. And that's to just build awareness and try to increase construction and demolition recycling. That's C&D. C&D waste is anywhere from 20 to 80% of what's going into landfills. So you're 8 pounds per person. That's per capita. So it's not like you're actually generating everyone's 8-pound bag of trash every day. But all the waste that's going into landfill, which includes C&D, it includes industrial, commercial, that gets split amongst everybody here.
And because we don't track separately.
Right.
And there was a huge amount of C&D waste in JP.
Yeah. So I'll actually leave a stack of those flyers. But those are some projects that we're doing. We have a closed loop on glass in Colorado. We collect less than 30% of the glass in the marketplace here, even though we have a full-blown home for it to make it another bottle. So our pilot, our 12-month project, is to expose what's the gap in that collection piece. So that's what we do. And so when you listen to that, you'll start to begin to understand why we don't do a lot of education, because the system is so broken, and we don't want to just treat the symptom. We want to go at the problem and try to find out what the problem is and how can we fix that. Then we'll go educate folks and say, hey, we fixed the system. Now please go do this. And it's convenient.
and it's going to cost you whatever it costs, and please go do that. So that's what we do.
And we
so
do,
we can help you with that.
We do education at the summit. We do a
yeah, and we do it in the projects.
Amazing.
Yep. But, yeah.
It's a June every year. Summit for recycling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're cool.
I was wondering, do you have a closed loop on food?
You always have a closed loop on food.
And we have a topic coming up on that. So, I'm going to
With compost, always.
Yes. It's on our schedule.
Yep.
No, but you
have the closed loop available.
Yeah, available. Okay,
every
sorry.
Person has
yeah, no,
it available.
I thought you were in
oh yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. It's just that we all, as individuals, can close the loop on food.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.